Thank you for the pause.
As we move on into the subject of spirituality, you're going to have part of your audience out there saying, oh, now they're going to move into that really kooky part. I guess that jerk up there, that 10-foot lizard's going to make them all sit around in lotus position and flash purple flowers at God or the sky or the whatever. No, this one's not. I know that other half of you wish I would do that. Because wouldn't it be nicer just to join the family all together? And you see, family's getting to be a word you can't use either. Have you noticed that? This cult family that just burned itself to death or whatever it did, that's pure murder over Armstrong. Don't buy into that sect business. I'm talking about the one in Switzerland and Canada. Don't buy that garbage. You've got enough of your own, and that baggage will just destroy you. That whole action had nothing to do with a belief system or a religious cult. The fact that maybe they were participants in some kind of a fringe religious society may have something to do with their position or their circumstance. But don't be buying into that. It's just this sort of thing that Ray Ellen wrote, that, oh, well, now they've heard that they are studying Tehachapi, and this may be the next Waco. How so? How so? You don't have anything here. You have some corporations. Are they going to come and blast the contact office? That's going to look silly. Are they going to come knock out a little grandmother? That's going to be even more ridiculous. This is why everybody who wants to come together because you're believing in a thing wants to call it a church or something. Don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. You can be more unified without putting your names down on a list and, oh, I'm a member of that. Membership in family, and I'm using the term family, relationships, is birthed in the soul, not blood. Not blood and not names on a membership list. There are reasons that we do things the way we do them. We want no relationship to any church, religious gathering. I don't care what you think I am. I don't want you on your knees to me. I want you to respect me as the energy form that I am. But I want you to offer the same respect to my secretary for the job that she does. And I'll tell you the reason for this. It keeps us both equal, and we can both get our job done. I don't want to drag you along when I'm trying to do a mission. And I certainly don't want to be dragging you along on your knees. I want you to be able to run when I say, let's get out of here.
Is that soon now?
For everybody but Rick. Ron's right, he's got a mean streak. They've learned not to use the word vacation or holiday. That's the first two words they learned to not use with me. Those just happen to be the days, you know, when they request a vacation or a holiday that I have to triple up the workload. We're going to get there. There is no doubt about it. Whether or not we will get there with your perception of the world as you think it is or it might be. I want you with a vision of this world that is glorious and radiant, lest you fall into the habit of doing nothing about the situation around you. On the other hand, I am going to do some honors here. I have held off for months on bringing this to attention because I wanted to bring it all in with names, etc., at an appropriate time. And I want to thank the ones of you who attend meetings, do your work, do your sharing, and share with us. When you see a clipping in the paper that means something to you, it probably will mean something here. And whether or not it's used is simply because of space and time limitations. Because there's nothing that comes through anymore that is not incredibly valuable. I have been asked over and over to comment on some of the things that take place at these global science meetings. Well, you're going to hear about UFOs, and you're going to hear about metaphysics, and you're going to hear about herbology, and if you eat peanuts on Tuesdays, that'll do something. Well, you've got a live one now. Starting in the spring of this year, actually winter, I guess. You go by seasons on your place. There was a global science meeting in Virginia, and I want to thank Jermaine for supplying us with a tape months and months ago. And I know that she thinks that that was ignored. That was not ignored. There is a man by the name of David Hudson that must, in all seriousness, as it unfolds, he must be connected with Dr. Young. He's got it. Only he doesn't have it all. It's like Russell. You're going to find many flaws in Russell's work. But there is a fundamental concept of light and what you are. The manifestation of God thought coalesced into a holographic entity. Holographic simply means the whole. Graphic means to be able to view it, to view as a whole. You can't view EJ unless those particles that are EJ are close enough together to form graphically something you can look at and preferably touch. You all want to see a ship. You don't want to see a ship. You can look at a ship. You want to see your perception of a spacecraft close enough where you can go rub your hand on it. Now, I know you. Now, let us just suggest that I set a little shuttle down out here in the parking lot. First of all, I would smash your cars. The cops would be here. Maybe even Jason Brent would drift over. And then you're in real serious trouble. You know those kooks over there? Then it becomes magic and more easily denied. You will never know me. You will never know God until you know the energy form. What is love? You don't know. You can't define it. It's certainly not whatever you do in the name of love, because love is undefinable. It is something that becomes a part of something else. So if you cannot use the proper terminology, and in most instances there is no expression of this feeling, love did it. Agape sauce, I love you. Sagapo, I love you. Amor, amore. That's getting more down on the physical. But agape is a Greek word for God love. There is an unexpressed feeling that I have for you beyond this physical plane of recognition. That's what I'm trying to express. But you see, these words don't mean anything anymore. Let's go make love. No, you want to go hop in the, you know, roll in the hay. I think is good, understandable terminology. That is not love. That can be an expression of, but it's only a physical expression of. Because whatever the emotional feeling that you get out of that is registered in the mind or the soul. And that becomes emotion. So that becomes spiritual. And when you clutter up the very spiritual essence of beauty with that which is ugly or diseased, and I'm talking about diseased, not little spirochetes running around or little AIDS virus or whatever. I'm talking about an uneasiness, a displeasure. You've got problems. Well, then when it becomes such massively expressed or exposed to you, the brain can't take it anymore. Violence becomes nothing. You are numb. You have become the walking dead. And to come out of this death grip and come alive again, you have to know how to do it. Because with all the surroundings that pounce upon you every day, you are limited to the physical feelings and responses and reactions of whatever is hitting you. And if there is anger in one, it's going to be expressed to the other. Not because the other deserves it, but because it must be expressed or stuffed down. And there's nothing wrong with that kind of an outburst if you, you know, it's like you with all these kids. Dorma can really relate to this one. You know, anywhere from 5 to 9 little kids running around all the time. Well, the first 3 may come in and raise heck and they get away with it. That 4th little guy comes in through the door and slams it and wants something and is, you know, I'm not, you know, it's just terrible. EJ takes a little tour this morning, and then he stops to bring this paper from Ray Ellen back to Dorman. She's trying to get ready to come over here and get everything together, and she thought she was going to write. You better read this. Well, by the time he got back, man, she was upset. Well, thank you for ruining my day. Well, is that why you're in such a bad mood, you know? I wasn't in a bad mood until you said something to me. And then how do you prove you're not in a bad mood when you're shouting? But that's life. And as long as you understand what it is, you're thrusting off at one another. What you're really saying is you're not giving me what I need. How in the world can that other one know what you need if you don't tell them? That's number one. Honey, I just need a little quiet here. This is really disappointing to me. There aren't enough other things going along now. I've got to now deal with this one. This is what's wrong with marriages. And pretty soon, other things enter into it until you no longer even remember what it is you had in the first place. But what is first to go and the hardest to recover is called respect. Love can prevail in your sense of, well, I really care about you. But if respect is lost, and respect will be lost the minute anything is introduced into the relationship that will lower the inhibitions so that the mind is not careful enough to measure what it says. out this mouth. So in your anger, you get insulting. And if you drink, you'll get drunk. And you get more insulting and very probably abusive in some way, whether it's pushing, shoving, hitting, or just ignoring. I won't speak to you. Only you don't say, I'm not going to speak to you. You just don't speak. I'm going to go pout. But I'm going to make sure you know I'm pouting. So if nothing happens and one is pouting off in its room, it's just like a child. Pretty soon it comes out to see what else it can do to get some attention and it's pouting. I'm going to pout in front of you. Always note what you do secretly. Because when the soul is hurt, it will go and try to heal itself or kill itself or bring pain to itself. Because the mind says, I must need punishing. This will be the downtrodden personage that says, I deserve it. Well, maybe you deserve something, but it probably isn't what you're doing. You know, if you've nitpicked and you have just gone on and on and on and on and on and will not stop, maybe there needs to be some retaliation, but for a 6-foot man to hit a 3-foot woman, you know, is really not nice. And it'll get you in trouble. It may not get you into as serious a trouble as O.J. Simpson, but I'm telling you, they're watching you now. So any time that there is an abusive situation, and it can go either way, my friends, you have some real women out there now. I cannot call them ladies. You have all but reversed your sexual roles. And you're going to have some pretty abused men. And don't kid yourself. Women don't have to hit you. They know how to get you. It's innate. And I have to be careful because Dorma's checking now. But you're all laughing, aren't you? You all understand exactly what I just said. Well, men have a tendency to hit. They're physical. And yet, you cannot even carry on your species without each other. One say to me, well, you're bigot. And you're anti this, you're anti that. I'm not anti anything except that which is against God's laws. And you can go ahead and do that, as long as you're not bringing pain or hurt upon somebody else. And then it's still not my business as such. If I see someone being abused, it is my responsibility to stop that. But I certainly have no business trying to tell you what you're going to do or think. On the other hand, it is truly logical in my own reasoning brain that it takes a man and a woman to have offspring. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. And at some point along this intersecting pathway, if you're going to have a child, and this is right out of a test tube, my friends, you're going to have a male and a female. And now I hear what they're saying out there. He's going to give you a talk on sex. No, I'm not. I'm going to give you a talk on light. And the duality of your universe. It requires, and for lack of any other gender designation, it takes a male and a female. I don't care who you like. I don't care your preference. Mentally, you are supposed to be able to control your physical behavior. So I disagree with a lot of behavior. And I have great compassion for ones with, normal isn't a good word. If they feel abnormal, in their preferences or their behaviors or whatever. I can have great compassion for that. But deliberate behavior on the basis or foundation of that which is not of the proper structuring, that is something that can be controlled because you are mental reasoning, free choice entities, human. That's all that sets you aside from the animals. And if you note, most of the animals, unless they are introduced into an abnormal circumstance, will have incredibly valid behavior. So you have been ill-trained. So you don't remember what you are or who you are. And in every cycling energy particle of the universe, you will find this male-female wholeness. And until you can begin to equate what you are, you cannot know where you are going. You get a perception that, well, I have this little baby here. And that took a mother and it took a father, or it took a sperm and it took an ovum. And that can be accomplished anymore in a test tube with a hypodermic needle introducing one into the other. But without one and the other, you will not have a viable entity spring from it. So you have to use your brains about it. Obviously, when you get to heaven, I know that a lot of you think, ah, that's when I think I'm closer to heaven, you know, in some of these encounters than I will ever get. No, you haven't touched the energy of the universe. You are still experiencing a level of primitive behavior and thinking that is the greatest thing that could possibly be. And yet, look at the consequences of that behavior. So often, it's so misguided and misdirected. So you have to begin to understand that you are made up of a substance or an invisible nothingness called light. And light responds in an electric way, energy. Now, we could just go on and on and on into this, and there was a little discussion last night with Jermaine about these dual waves, etc. Well, what you're going to find is that everything is a pulse wave type of action, but it basically is a piston like this. You don't go anywhere, and no time passes. But at this point, you are encapsulated in a physical expression that you have allowed or made. I didn't say manifested because that indicates something else. You have coalesced a set of circumstances around you. Now, that's in the blueprint of your program, your play, your script. But you are not this being running around on the stage participating. You may be spending your time with that entity in participation, but that is not you. And you talk to anybody, who has had what they want to classify as a near-death experience, where they literally pass out of their body, and some of you can get it just in meditation. There's no big deal. There is no big deal. The difference is when you are having a life-death experience, you are usually traumatized, you are usually anesthetized, you are in surgery, you are having a heart attack or cardiac arrest, you have a physical debilitation. And it becomes an altogether different kind of an expression than when you go drifting off into your astral plane and float about in the cosmos. Doesn't mean you can't do it, but your circumstances are different. You will always have these near-death experiences, almost always giving you the same descriptive play. The script is very similar. Go to the light, or there was all this darkness, or there were all these things. But ultimately, I had to make a choice. I really wanted to stay, but I made a choice to go back. I either wasn't through with my journey, I would have to leave my children, and that was not fair. Responsibility takes on its own life in that instant, in the presence of God. Now, who's God? Well, he's whoever you think you were meeting up there. He's the higher knowledge that thinks you. And he's saying, you are mine, you are my thought, what are you going to do? And then most of you will come back and say, yeah, but he nudged me. No, he wouldn't nudge you. Are you ready to assume your responsibility on this side or that side? Are you through with that which you set out to do? If you are, stay. If the body is so mangled or so debilitated that it cannot function in your ongoing job, you will choose to not go back and inhabit it. And that is death. If for whatever reason you are making that transition, it isn't feasible to expedite your own journey. You will make the choice to not return. That's the only difference. That is the only difference in one energy form to another. When you make that journey across that veil, it can be the most incredible of experiences, because responsibility becomes something and knowingness becomes the other. I knew that I knew. I knew that I knew it all. And I knew that I was not through. It does not mean that a person will not come back into a deformed body or a damaged body, but they will only come back if their presence will offer growth, either to themselves or to the ones surrounding them. Because the upward mobility is what you're looking for, and you would never go back to lesser. You never ever experience as lesser. So don't think that you're going to come back as a puppy dog if you are a human. That is a lesser responsibility. You may deserve to do that. On the other hand, if you live with odd.